This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. All right, for those on my social media, we'll be starting shortly. We're going live with Islam Channel. This is Salam Britain's Islam Channel's Journey of the Quran with me each Wednesday, inshallah.
Catherine, are you hot? Yeah? Okay.
Bismillah.
Stand by. 5, 4. Welcome back to Islam Britain, and now it's time for reflections with Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum, are you there?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me again.
Alhamdulillah, it's good to have you here, Sheikh. And of course, you're carrying on from talking about the section of the Quran, particularly Al-Baqarah, now on a journey through the Quran. So tell us what you're going to be talking about today, and please do inspire us.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. It's always a pleasure to connect with regards to the Quran, Azza wa Jalla, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the one that informs us that anytime we come together in the study of the Quran, even if we are seated separately from each other, subhanAllah, I'm in my home here in Perth, Western Australia, yourself in your studios in London, and viewers from all around the world, alhamdulillah. But we converge our hearts together, seeking an upliftment through the word of Allah, the tradition of the Prophet ﷺ, that makes us worthy of the visitation of the angels who encircle the ones who have come for the sacred knowledge to better themselves and to improve their conduct with each other so that they can ultimately make their self-worth with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of greater merit and account. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills that purpose for us and keeps our intention pure. Anytime we study and deliberate over the Quran, we attain that objective of inviting the angels into our home, into our hearts, and into our very being. We're continuing with our journey through the Quran, alhamdulillah. And this has spun off to become a blog series that I also have for Islam Channel. I hope you'll read through it. I give a little bit more in-depth details than just what we're speaking of here, alhamdulillah. Today, I wanted to share with you a quote. An imam, one of the great hadith scholars of the early generation, from those who lived amongst the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, is the great Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahmatullahi alayhi. Now, the great Imam, he used to have this really amazing saying, in particular about Surah Al-Baqarah. He used to say, Adam, alayhi salam, the ancestral father of all humanity, we are the children of Adam, Bani Adam. And his is the first story told in the Quran. Adam's sin was out of desire. Satan, Iblis, the shaitan, his sin was out of pride. The one who sins out of desire will find it easier to repent to Allah than the one who sins out of pride. Now that same theme is explored in the Quran in many other discussions and narrations. When you actually look into, for example, the evil account and lifestyle of Fir'aun, the great Pharaoh, who was the nemesis of Musa alayhi salam, who was the butcher of the Bani Israel. what you find is that his disbelief wasn't out of greed. It wasn't just that he wanted more or excess. It was more out of defiance and arrogance. He would say to the Egyptian magicians who prostrate to Allah when they saw the miracle displayed by Musa, gifted to him by Allah, he said, مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرِي. There's no God for you to worship other than me. He said to them, آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ آذَنَ لَكُمْ. How dare you accept the God of Moses as your Lord? How dare you decide for yourself without my permission? And therefore, arrogance is an impasse that turns the heart hard, darkens it, and pushes the light of faith out of it. Now, you and I have been put on notice by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the authentic hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim and Imam al-Tirmidhi, and this is Imam al-Tirmidhi's narration. He said, مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبُهُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ كِبْرٍ. The one who has in their heart even a half of an atom's weight of arrogance, kibr, will not enter Jannah, meaning as a believer will not enter Jannah with ease until it is purified from them. So one of the people stood up and said, O Messenger of Allah, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ مِنَّا يُحِبُّ أَن تَكُونَ ثِيَابُهُ حَسَنًا وَمَأْكَلَهُ حَسَنٌ وَمَرْكَبَهُ حَسَنٌ. O Messenger of Allah, any one of us as individuals, we desire to have fine tailored clothing, fine exquisite cuisine, and that we have a nice ride, a nice stallion or a nice car that we ride and show our distinction with. Is this the arrogance that you speak of? And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, لَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ الْكِبْرُ بَطَرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْضُ النَّاسِ. Arrogance is to reject the truth on account of who you qualify as the one delivering it to. You look at someone as being younger than you, or somebody who doesn't know, in your opinion, as much as you, or somebody from a lower social caste than you, or a different ethnicity than you. And it's almost as if you say, what does this person know? Even though what they've said is the truth, you didn't qualify it on its merit. You judged it on the covering of the individual, the physicality of the individual, rather than the truth as it's meant to represent itself. وَغَمْضُ النَّاسِ. Another aspect of arrogance is to cast down your gaze upon those who you deem less worthy of yourself than yourself. So you assume yourself as being better, greater, wealthier, happier, healthier, stronger, more politically or socially or psychologically connected than others. So it gives you a deference in your opinion towards others. All of that is condemnable. That mindset becomes one of the earliest explorations of the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah juxtaposes within two pages of Surah Al-Baqarah the story of Iblis and the story of the Shaytan, and of the Shaytan versus Adam alayhi salam. Adam is a sinner out of desire. He wants maybe more or excess or something he hasn't had an opportunity to try before. And therefore his folly is that if he was to receive what he thought was better, he may recognize that eventually it is not what is best for him and come back to the truth. While arrogance blinds the heart, turns it dark and makes it hard because one continues to believe that they remain superior over others. That becomes the greatest sin, the first sin that human beings made between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the creation of Allah made between them and Allah, that became reason and cornerstone for disbelief. We've always wondered, why do people, and why in ancestrally, have people found it difficult to submit to the Almighty Allah? Notice that word, submit. That's the essence of Islam, submission. It's that there are sometimes a hadith that you might hear that doesn't seem to want to resonate in your heart. Some hadith for women may seem problematic. Notice the word I said, it seems like it's problematic. It isn't problematic, but with the worldview that we've been taught, or with trauma that we might have suffered, or an experience we've heard from somebody else other than ourselves, We are made to think, well, the Prophet said this in its general form. What if somebody uses it to abuse their place of power or authority as my husband or my father or, you know, whatever it may be? How can I then trust that the words of the Prophet ﷺ would fit me and suit me well? And that can cause a person, on account of their arrogance, to look at the words of the Prophet ﷺ with a qualification of a question mark rather than an acceptance and working towards shifting it and understanding it as it is meant to be understood. Sometimes as men, we find it difficult at times to hear something that was ordained upon us by Allah, that my wealth is not just to be retained by me, but it's for the betterment and the service of my father, my mother, my sisters, my daughters, my wife. It's meant to be something that goes beyond myself, that as a man, what is mine is not ultimately just for me. It's meant to be a source of nourishment for many that surround me. It becomes important for us then to humble our hearts, to be receptive to something that at times may be greater in its esteem, greater in its effect, greater in its influence than what we assume it to be. And therefore, the story of Adam and the story of Hawa are really beautiful in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, especially when it is compared and contrasted to the story of Iblis. Both of them, they failed in their order, in fulfilling an order given to them by Allah. One was ordered to perform an act of devotion that showed their humility and showed their humbleness before the Almighty Allah by showing deference to another creation, Adam alayhi salam. The other was ordered to restrict themselves from what they don't know is actually not good for them. Aren't those really the two struggles that you and I have in life? There are certain things that have been made haram. It could be a relationship or something we want to see or a place we want to go or an investment we want to make, something that we believe and we see other people doing it and we wonder to ourselves, well, why is it haram? Why can't we just indulge the way other people indulge? Why does it always have to be restricted for us? And that moment is where the shaitan begins to enter their assault upon our heart, wanting us to shift from just desiring something to having arrogance against the command of Allah. I don't want to wear hijab, for example. I'm never going to put it on. That's something of the past. It doesn't suit me. It's not for this era. It's not for this time. It's not for where I live. And it's not now. It's not just that I accept that I should do it, but I'm falling behind. Rather, now I'm defiant against it. That becomes a change from desiring one thing to now entering into an arrogant position against the tenets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, with issues that relate to salah or fasting or giving our zakah or paying our sadaqah or the laws that relate to inheritance or many of the other important injunctions that we have as Muslims, whether it's from salah upwards, all of them should never be qualified by what we think about their importance in our life. And that becomes the central message that Allah teaches us through these two stories. The moment Iblis questioned the why, rather than fulfilling the what was asked of him, it became a really critical moment in how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with his obstinance and his rebellion. There's no problem in wanting to understand the conditions of what it is that Allah has asked us. It is problematic to question whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to order us and Allah has the authority to order us to do something that even we may not yet come to understand it in its reality. In many of the occasions that we experience in our day-to-day life, there are so many things that you and I take for granted today. You know, picking up my phone, it's not strange for me to being in the car, being on a mobile phone video call with my father, for example, while my wife drives. He's all the way in Canada. It's nighttime while it's daytime here in Australia. And I don't find it strange. But I can tell you 20 years ago, if you were to come and say to me, Yahya, it's going to be something that is so common. You won't even need dial-up cards. You would just be able to, you don't even need to call your dad. You can actually video call him. I would say, I can't even imagine how that would be on something as small as a mobile device. The way the world grows should not ever limit us to what it is that the commands of Allah ask. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have said to us in the past is more understood in certain aspects today than what it was in the past. And what Allah has said may be more easier for us to understand into the future when our hearts are settled with that very simple principle. Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects you and I from overwhelming desire that leads us away from the truth. But I pray even more that Allah protects us, that we have arrogance against the commands of Allah, the orders of Allah, where we try to use our intellect to qualify whether they should be valid for us or others or not. The word of Allah, the revelation of Allah, must always be the guiding light, even at moments where we don't understand it. That becomes the inner secret of the first three letters of the surah, Alif, Lam, Mim. Nobody knows their meaning but Allah. But we don't remove them from the Quran just because we don't understand. It's meant to humble us that there will be aspects of the Quran that you accept, even though in a certain point in your time or your age or your experience, you have not yet learned its value, which is yet to come. May Allah allow us to value every letter of the Quran, every teaching of the Quran, every aspect of the Prophet's Sunnah that is authentically conveyed to us, and protect us from misunderstanding the word of Allah or putting it in a place other than what was intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of meaning and practice. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you and assists you and protects you with the knowledge and the practice of the Quran, and that Allah makes the Quran the spring of our heart, the delight of our eyes, the removal of our pain and depression and stress, and that Allah makes us adjust our life to the Quran rather than trying to change the Quran to fit into our life. May Allah make us of those who are repentant and returning to Him the way Adam was repentant after making the mistake. And may Allah protect us from being vile and arrogant like Iblis was, who was unwilling to come back to a place of truth that he knows the truth is with Allah, but his arrogance blinded him to it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our Muslim ummah, in particular in these days, those who are flood stricken in Pakistan and in Afghanistan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uplift them and cause the road to rise to meet them. May they find facility and ease and victory and support from where they do not know that it would arrive. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us and our charity and our endeavor of righteousness to assist them in whatever ways are possible. Allahumma ameen. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us valuable to each other using this wonderful vehicle of Islam Channel. I look forward to seeing you as I do each and every Wednesday at 11 a.m. inshallah for the journey with the Quran.
Inshallah, thank you so much, Sheikh. That was really amazing. And very interesting that you said about that it's actually easier to ask for forgiveness from a sin that is not arrogance. And arrogance is the hardest thing to come back with and to say, I am sorry. But it's there. And that arrogance, as you said, sometimes stops us from learning the real meanings in the Quran. If we don't understand some things, they're saying, that doesn't make sense, that's just rubbish. It could be we just don't understand it. Somebody hasn't actually explained it to us. But today, you have, Sheikh, you have explained so much of Surah Al-Baqarah, and I can't wait to hear the next episode and further our discussions there in the Quran. Thank you so much, Sheikh.
Thank you for having me. For those of you who are listening along and following along, I will do the Islam Q&A at the top of the hour, noon London time, inshallah. See you then. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Thank you very much. Wa alaikum as-salam.